Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
We've got our morning mystery movie clip in less than 15 minutes, cut sheet part due at the bottom of the hour, and so much more. And of course, we are on SCOTUS immunity ruling watch today, as we are probably just about an hour away from those rulings coming out, most notably presidential immunity with Donald Trump. And, of course, if you missed any of the show this morning, ranging from Biden's rally and his, quote, bounce-back effort on Friday, SCOTUS and J6 prisoner ruling, and also some of the fallout from who's calling the shots, Dems in panic mode, Hunter Biden now advising Joe Biden. You can get all of that on the Odyssey app or go back and watch the show. A couple of things outside of the world of the election that I want to get to here for the next 7 or 8 minutes. I saw this story come out late last week, and we didn't get time to get into it on Friday. I think it came out on Thursday. And they do a lot of business in Pennsylvania, and they're also headquartered in Tennessee. And that is Tractor Supply Company, which I think many people are familiar with when you see some of their machinery. Maybe some of you own some of their products. Maybe some of you work in an industry where their products are featured. The headline from Fox Business, Tractor Supply, no longer going woke, eliminates DEI goals. Tractor Supply Company is getting rid of several initiatives that some social media users and customers have slammed in recent years as being, quote, woke. The Farming Supplies retailer, which is headquartered in Tennessee on Thursday, said it will, quote, ensure that our activities and giving tie directly to our business moving forward. And you can see the official statement from the company up on YouTube right now, which I will read a few of those bullet points for you in a moment if you are unable to watch. Tractor Supply said it will cease the sponsorship of non-business activities such as pride festivals and voting campaigns with the intention to focus more on rural America priorities. The company said it will also drop diversity, equity, and inclusion goals that it had previously set for itself. DEI positions at Tractor Supply also will get axed, according to the company, and it will also cease sending data to Human Rights Campaign and LGBTQ advocacy group. I mean, surprise, surprise, go figure. Talk about the light bulb going on in the 23rd hour of the day. If you sell tractors and you sell farming equipment, here's an idea. Just sell the product that you're in business to sell and make a profit off of. And this has nothing to do specifically with tractor companies. I would say the same thing to sneaker companies or any other company under the sun with these absurd social credit score pushed narratives where BlackRock and Vanguard and Larry Fink and all of these big wig uppity ups, as Don likes to say. Remember, and I'll never forget this quote. I'm going to take this quote with me till the day I die. Larry Fink of BlackRock saying, "We are going to force a change in the behavior of society." I'm sorry, I don't like things forced on me, period. I don't like mandates. But when you're one of these companies, you have to kind of juggle the, because my sister is a big HR executive for a Fortune 500 company, and she doesn't subscribe to any of this DEI nonsense. She's a Republican, she's a conservative, but to keep her job, she's got to type up these summits and these meetings and go through all this rigmarole that would make me puke out of my eyeballs. She goes through with it because it's her job. But she says the balancing act they have to do is have that high social credit score, but they're only going to stick with that until they're their profits plummet or their stocks decline. Once these big corporate CEOs that talk a big game start to get hit in their wallets, then all of a sudden there's this 180 or 360 pivot, And I think that's exactly what's happening here with Tractor Supply Company, as they're ditching all of this. Sean and Dawn, I'm hoping this is one of the, another company, another step in the right direction of ending the absurdity of the last 4 years, where we don't give people job based on merit. We give jobs to people based on what their gender is, their sexual orientation, or what their politics are. Just hire the best people for the job. It's that simple.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Amen.
That's the best way to do it. Just merit, merit-based. And a big shout out to Tennessee's own Robbie Starbuck, who is the one who started breaking this story a few weeks ago. This shows you that the people still have the power. If you want a company to change what it's doing, hit them where it hurts the most. Have you noticed Target's Pride displays are smaller this year? Have you noticed there haven't been any stories coming out of Kohl's? Because last year, Bud Light, all of that, we made those companies pay. And I give Tractor Supply a ton of credit here for, instead of doubling down and telling people, shut up and buy my stuff, you said, you know what? My customers don't want us to do this. We're going to change. We're going to say, we're sorry for doing it. We're going to eliminate all of the problems, and we're going to get back to what made us a great company to begin with. And that was selling tractors or outdoor supply stuff. I buy all my flannel shirts from Tractor Supply. I love the place. I love it. It hurt me when I saw it. I was like, no, now I can't go to Tractor Supply. But you know what? They earned me back. They said, we're getting rid of the DEI. They made their apology, and they made it stick. They made it count. They proved they weren't just empty words. They made it count by getting rid of all of the problems that, or the root of the problems that arose from that. I want to see more companies do what Tractor Supply did, because instead of coming out like Bud Light did last year and go, oh, well, we want to distance ourselves from the frat boy thing. Those are your customers. Stop trying to distance yourself from the customer. It's like if Nike came out and says, well, you know, we want to get away from people with feet. You need people with feet to sell shoes, right? Like this is what it is. Why not instead go, all right, we didn't realize our customers felt this way. We're going to eliminate what our customers don't like, the majority of them, and we're going to get back to doing what we do very well. I saw this yesterday in the Portland airport. Pride displays all over the Southwest Air. Guys, fly the planes, land the planes, give me my little tiny bag of snacks in the middle of the flight, and that's all we need, okay? Let me know when there's going to be turbulence. Turn the seatbelt sign on. Turn it off. That's all we need, okay? We don't need all the fanfare and virtue signaling. All we need you to do is do what your company exists to do, provide the goods and provide the services. So shout out to Robbie Starbuck and shout out to Tractor Supply, who did the right thing, realized they made a mistake, apologized for the mistake, and then took actionable steps after apologizing to prove to their customer base that they meant it. That's what I love about what Tractor Supply did.
You know, and here's the other thing too, Dawn. You would think like companies like Tractor Supply Company, Kohl's, Target, Bud Light, they would have seen what happened 8 years ago to ESPN when ESPN started to get political. And I'll just take off my partisan hat for a moment and be bipartisan or just completely neutral. If your lane is not politics, don't go into it. I would say this, as much as I like Trump and most Republican policies, when I go out to eat, now, I mean, if I get a waiter that's wearing a MAGA hat, maybe I'll give him a little fist pound. Not that a waiter would be wearing one. But when I'm like in a venue or a setting that is not political, I don't want you making it political, even if it is something I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. Dawn, you do 30 hours a week of radio. I would imagine if you go out somewhere for an entertaining night with your husband or your boys, maybe the last thing you want, even if it is partisan in your direction that you subscribe to, you just don't want to be clobbered over the head with it, because entertainment is supposed to be an escape from reality. You're not supposed to be selling us more of the division and drama in a venue where we're not expecting or signing up for that in the first place. That's what I've never understood with these companies.
Well, and I think part of it is when you are a conservative, your inclination is, because what do you believe in? If you're a conservative, you want everybody to do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in that. You believe in the conversation. That's why the left always has the problem with us. We don't have as much of a problem with somebody else, because you go, hey, you be you, but leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be free.
Right.
The problem here that we've now all learned, and that was part of the, I think, the overall picture. If you heard Sean Farish talking to Jimmy Matthews, that's really what your conversation is about, is saying, you know what? we as conservatives have to learn the lesson that the left never lets go. So how do we navigate through that to say, okay, I mean, I guess you can forgive, but never forget, which is what a wife does. So you have to see, that's what conservatives have to, you have to be more like a wife. You can forgive, but you never forget. Right. You always have the Trump
card. Like
it.
Right. And as the Canadian Cancer Society said, wives, they now have trans-friendly front holes. Never forget that, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
My God, I don't know where I pulled that from.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
All right, a couple of things to get to here is Sean Farish just sent me this story from about 9 months ago in the New York Post. And this is, and I'll let you get into this, Sean, but these are the kind of headlines that infuriate me when people on the left use outlandish hyperbole, like dealing with somebody that differs from your beliefs politically and comparing it to terrorism and fighting terrorists. This is like the people that tried to say January 6th was the equivalent to 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or things like that. That's where I think the fringe radical left even loses some of the moderate Democrats, certainly the independents, and maybe even kind of the old school classic liberals like a Bill Maher, who in no way, shape, or form likes Donald Trump, but hears these outlandish analogies and rolls their eyes and does a monologue on how stupid they've become.
Yeah, you know, it's insane. And this is the crazy part, right? So we get someone enraged that I say, oh, I want to assault. Let me be completely clear, all right? I'm not going to go out of my way and find Chris Matthews. I don't want anybody to hurt Chris Matthews. OK, that's not what I want. But if I was in a room with him, I would be very upset with him. Let me tell you because of what he said. And it's not just 2012. It's this stuff, because when we talk now about violence and polarizing people, when you repeatedly call people like me a terrorist or compare it, what does that do to the people who are watching you on your network, right? When someone says pushing back against rural rage is like pushing back or fighting, the word fighting, terrorism, one could deduce that you're inciting violence. One could say that you're going to convince people to step up to those rural voters and do what we do to terrorists. We don't be nice to terrorists. Well, Biden's very nice to terrorists. But if you're going to be upset with, you know, the fact that I'm upset with Matthews over comments like that, well, can we look at Chris Matthews and what he said on December 28th, 2023, very recently, when he compared rural voters pushing against the liberal elites? He compared it to fighting terrorism. You don't, when you fight terrorism, you're looking to completely exterminate and eliminate a threat. Is that what Chris Matthews wants to happen to me? Is that what he wants to happen to, you know, other quote unquote rural voters, right? I mean, this is the type of stuff that I'm talking about, right? And so to be clear, right, so nobody takes the words out of context, I'm not at all encouraging anybody to do anything to Chris Matthews or his home. I'm not a liberal, okay? But if we were in a mano-a-mano situation, a man-to-man situation in the old days, there was a way where things like that got handled. I'm not going out of my way to do it. I don't want to do it. And I'd probably make him swing first because so I don't get in trouble. I'm only kidding. This is how mad it got me, these comments, okay, about Hurricane Sandy. But it's not just Sandy. It's this idea that if somebody who thinks like me, they're now a terrorist, somebody who doesn't like your candidate, your liberal elites, you're now a terrorist. This is a problem. Maxine Waters has done it. And these are the type of comments that have actually resulted in real harm coming to conservatives. Steve Scalise almost died because of it, right? So if we're going to talk about violence and we're going to talk about threats, let's look to the left, okay, who are making actual, credible, actionable calls to violence that are being responded to. These are things that are being responded to. Steve Scalise did not get shot on accident. Right. It didn't happen on accident. It happened because these followers have been radicalized because of people like Bernie Sanders, because of the mainstream media, because we've decided that MAGA supporters are terrorists. Joe Biden has described Trump supporters in that way. Folks on the mainstream media have described Trump supporters in that way. Folks who have been elected to office have called Trump supporters these things. People in New York have compared me to Timothy McVeigh because I attended a school board meeting and said we need to get rid of DEI in education because it's not teaching children to grow up in the right mindset, right? So if we're going to be upset with quote unquote calls to violence, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm not telling people to go ahead and do any of that type of stuff to Chris Matthews, right? I'm saying I'm angry with him because this man has been allowed to call for violence and has been allowed to gloat on over other people's misfortune for years, where if this happened on the right, it would be a major, major issue. The man's not innocent in any way, shape, or form, and the hypocrisy is astounding. It is astounding that about 6 months ago, he's out there comparing people like me to terrorism and fighting terrorism. Should I feel afraid that somebody who watches his show is going to show up at my door and think they're taking down a terrorist because I vote for Donald Trump? Maybe I should, because it has happened to other people. And that is the type of thing. That is why I have such an issue with that individual, and not just him. It's the entire apparatus. They're all the same. They're all doing it. And it's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Producer Dan doing a great job. We actually have that audio to the story you're referencing. Dan Borowski, nice work. Let's play this. This is where Matthews calls rural conservatives cult members. And it's like fighting against terrorists. Here you go.
I think voters have got to take their hand in this election and don't wait for the government to do it, because, you know, this election is going to be close, and it's going to be very close in a place like Pennsylvania. And you're going to have rural people out there voting their craziness about the cult. So you better be there to match them.
Very interesting that you would call people a cult or call the battle against Republicans like fighting terrorists, because I believe it was under Joe Biden's watch just in the last few weeks that 8 ISIS terrorists came up through the southern border, some of which ended up in Philadelphia. 855-839-1210, the number. But there's 74 million terrorists in this country, according to Chris Matthews. Let's get to this last story before we get to our last break, and then we're going to get to the cut sheet. Kamala Harris just got absolutely eviscerated on Twitter as the official Kamala Harris Twitter account this morning posted the following. Donald Trump would ban abortion nationwide. President Joe Biden and I will do everything in our power to stop him and restore women's reproductive freedom. To which she got fact-checked with multiple links to CNN, BBC, the AP News, and the New York Times, amongst others, to which Elon Musk just tweeted at 9:03 this morning, "When will politicians, or at least the intern who runs their account, learn that lying on this platform doesn't work anymore?" How about that? Kamala Harris trying to do a little damage control, or somebody that runs one of her accounts, and quickly community noted, which I think is a great feature for X. All right, quick break. We'll come back, get to what's on the cut sheet, part two. We still have a litany of clips to play, from award shows to people having meltdowns on social media. It's all still ahead. It's Kale and Company live on a Monday morning, and we're back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Part two.
Alright, what's on the cut sheet? Part two. We got about 5 or 6 goodies in store for you, and we're going to begin here, boys, with clip number 5. We talked a lot this morning in the first hour and 20 minutes of the show, and probably half of the first round of the cut sheet, the debate, and Joe Biden's cognitive state. This is NBC asking whether or not Joe Biden should take a cognitive exam before the election and release those results. This was Raphael Warnock, who, if you recall, in 2022 had that competitive battle against Herschel Walker in the fall primaries. Take a listen. Here's clip number 5.
The White House released a summary of the president's annual physical back in February. No cognitive exam was done at the time. For the sake of transparency, should President Biden take a cognitive exam before the election and release those results?
Listen, in the course of an election, and I'm not a part of the campaign, in the course of an election, we ought to test these men. And they ought to be out there in front of the public. We ought to see who they are. And quite frankly, the more I hear Donald Trump talking, the more nervous I become. I don't need.
So is that a yes to a
Donald Trump's cognitive exam?
Is that a yes?
Well, listen, I'm not a doctor. It's not something, quite frankly, I've even thought about.
So, but you are thinking about how nervous you are over a second term of Donald Trump, because your guy, Joe Biden, I think hands down, would fail every single cognitive test he is given. I don't think if you took him on a driver's license to test right now, he would pass that. But I'd be all for this. Would you guys be on board with cognitive tests for people when we get to this level of politics after a certain age?
Sure. If it's consistent.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
If it's consistent.
Yes, I mean both parties, both sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you be on board with that, Sean?
I would be. I would be fine if it's the same test administered by the same doctor, you know, and it's got to be, it has to be somebody who is, you know, impartial. You know, we go back and look at the history. I don't want to know. Basically, I don't want to know who the doctor votes for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be obvious based off of the doctor's social media if he or she has a profile. Which way they lean? I don't want a right-leaning person. Like, let's say Ronnie Jackson. I don't want him to be doing it because he's biased. He's biased towards my guy, but he's still biased. I like Ronnie. I respect him. I've met him. He's a very nice person. He's a very smart guy. I think he would do an impartial job. I think he's capable of it. But let's take bias out of the equation. I think we should be testing the presidential candidates, because if they do fail, the voters should know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should know that the guy that you're supporting is essentially a vegetable.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need that as a country. So, I would support it.
I agree. Get everybody together. Get representatives from both sides of the aisle. Make sure there's no shenanigans. Make sure it's a third party independent doctor with no political bias one way or the other. Vet them properly. Both sides get the results. And then there's no conflicting messages. There's no misinformation, cheap fakes, deep fakes, this, that, and everything else under the sun. So I mentioned Tractor Supply Company is ditching DEI. But this story, courtesy of our friends on X and Wokeness, point out how DEI is still preventing some exceptionally qualified candidates from getting into college, including this guy who is of Asian descent. His GPA score is 97.3%. He got a 1560 on his SATs, and he's got extracurriculars out the wazoo, but he was not admitted, and he was placed on a wait list in the name of equity and inclusion. Take a listen. This is clip 14. Go.
A school does not want to admit me because I'm Asian American, then there's not much I can do about that, because it's a part of me that I just can't get rid of.
By all accounts, David is an academically exceptional student with an impressive resume of accomplishments and extracurriculars. His high school, Stuyvesant in New York City, is one of the top-rated public schools in the country.
My GPA is 97.3 out of 100. My SAT score is 1560. And extracurricular-wise, I'm one of the captains for the Stuyvesant math team. I'm a team captain for the New York City math team. I'm the starting right side for our school's volleyball team. I'm in the All-City Latin Jazz Ensemble.
He applied early decision to Harvard. In December, he found out the college deferred him.
If it's deferred, that means I still have a chance.
David, we love you, all right?
Then more disappointing news over the next few months as he began to hear back from the over dozen schools that he applied to.
No, yeah. Waitlist. No Princeton.
And it was all, like, bad news, or results I wouldn't have expected, like reject, waitlist, reject, waitlist.
In March, he learned Harvard had rejected him.
I feel like I also owe it to my parents to sort of make them proud. And I feel like by not getting into Harvard, I was sort of disappointing them. But more importantly, I was disappointing myself.
That's source courtesy of Nightline. Now, it's not, you didn't disappoint your parents, buddy. These insane institutions like Harvard and Princeton, which from a PR standpoint, since October 7th, have gone straight into the gutter with what they permitted with anti-Semitism on their campus. We already know they will disregard white people, even if they are qualified to hit, quote, admission quotas. And now you have somebody that's Asian who's 2.7% below perfect. I think the SAT, the highest you can get, is 1600. He's 40 points below perfect there, plays volleyball, plays musical instruments, and he's told he has to be on a wait list? I mean, what are we doing here? Are we really lowering the bar across the board so we can have everybody that looks differently, but they all think the same? And I have no idea what this guy's political background is. He might be super left as well, but this shouldn't matter. This guy should be in based on his merits alone.
Yeah, and we've seen the discrimination against Asian Americans in particular. So whether it's at the collegiate level, we even saw the story, well, that prompted the Supreme Court ruling, and that involved high school students who were denied scholarships. So this is something that should be explored. His case should be explored. Who else was put ahead of him and why?
Mm-hmm. And I want to see those person's transcripts.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's illegal. All right, let's wrap up with a little bit of fun. Are you ready for this? We're going to go right down to Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to go right to Sean Farish's backyard.
Oh, I know where this is going.
This
I
is
know
clip
where this is
16.
Going.
I mean, all the viral moments on social media with beautiful women seem to happen in Nashville, Tennessee. If you want crazy, deranged, ugly women on TikTok, you go to like Portland, New York, or somewhere else. But if you want hot women,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, that's correct. You're darn right. But if you want hot women doing great things, you go down to Nashville, Tennessee. I don't have any issue with what she was wearing. Just saying. Dawn, you can throw something at me.
Listen, not a good singer, though.
No,
I will say
terrible.
Terrible voice. You know, stick to the TikTok, I guess, right? The hawk to it's just the story surrounding this girl has been hilarious. And I didn't know what was going on. It went viral. I guess it was like a couple weeks ago, right? A week and a half ago. Yep. We were in Bedminster. I come back and I'm like, what is this? Well, there are shirts, hawk to it. What the hell did I miss? And then I watched the video. And by the way, the video is hilarious. I took it upon myself to use it to compare, you know, Fannie Willis was a hawk to a girl and, Nikki Haley, we talk about the escapades and the escalades. She was hawk to her like nobody's ever seen. Monica Lewinsky, remember her? And, Kamala, we know Kamala, Montel Williams, Willie Brown, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other people. You also have Peter Stroke and Lisa Page, you know, there was probably some hawk tour going on there too. So
yeah.
Incredible people. Incredible people.
All right. That will do it. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history and who won Twitter today as we put a bow on a Monday show. Kale and Company back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
We have a lot going on today, obviously, right at 10 o'clock straight up. Will we get the ruling talking about immunity, full immunity, presidential immunity, a huge ruling with ramifications, not just for the current president, but also former President Trump and presidents after POTUS 46, by the way. So the Supreme Court, the pressure is on. What will that ruling be? And we expect it to come down any moment now after, we're 8 minutes away and counting.
Mm-hmm.
So we, of course, will break that down, get all the reaction to it. And then the first rallies post-disastrous debate, we'll take you through that. And the latest cover lady, first lady turns cover lady, Jill Biden, using the media and focusing on young women, some of them perhaps first-time voters.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
Part two.
What's on the cut sheet? Part two. We got about five or six goodies in store for you, and we're going to begin here, boys, with clip number five. We talked a lot this morning in the first hour and 20 minutes of the show, and probably half of the first round of the cut sheet, the debate, and Joe Biden's cognitive state. This is NBC asking whether or not Joe Biden should take a cognitive exam before the election and release those results. This was Raphael Warnock, who, if you recall, in 2022 had that competitive battle against Herschel Walker in the fall primaries. Take a listen. Here's clip number five.
The White House released a summary of the president's annual physical back in February. No cognitive exam was done at the time. For the sake of transparency, should President Biden take a cognitive exam before the election and release those results?
Listen, in the course of an election, and I'm not a part of the campaign, in the course of an election, we ought to test these men. And they ought to be out there in front of the public. We ought to see who they are. And quite frankly, the more I hear Donald Trump talking, the more nervous I become. I don't need.
So is that a yes to
Donald Trump's
test?
Cognitive exam?
Is that
well,
a
listen,
yes?
Well, listen, I'm not a doctor. It's not something, quite frankly, I've even thought about.
So, but you are thinking about how nervous you are over a second term of Donald Trump, because your guy, Joe Biden, I think hands down, would fail every single cognitive test he is given. I don't think if you took him on a driver's license test right now, he would pass that. But I'd be all for this. Would you guys be on board with cognitive tests for people when we get to this level of politics after a certain age?
Sure, if it's consistent.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Don.
If it's consistent.
Yes, I mean, both parties, both sides. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you be on board with that, Sean?
I would be. I would be fine if it's the same test administered by the same doctor, you know, and it's got to be, it has to be somebody who is, you know, impartial. You know, we go back and look at the history. I don't want to know. Basically, I don't want to know who the doctor votes for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be obvious based off of the doctor's social media if he or she has a profile. Which way they lean? I don't want a right-leaning person. Like, let's say Ronnie Jackson. I don't want him to be doing it because he's biased. He's biased towards my guy, but he's still biased. I like Ronnie. I respect him. I've met him. He's a very nice person. He's a very smart guy. I think he would do an impartial job. I think he's capable of it. But let's take bias out of the equation. I think we should be testing the presidential candidates, because if they do fail, the voters should know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should know that the guy that you're supporting is essentially a vegetable.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need that as a country. So, I would support it.
I agree. Get everybody together. Get representatives from both sides of the aisle. Make sure there's no shenanigans. Make sure it's a third party independent doctor with no political bias one way or the other. Vet them properly. Both sides get the results. And then there's no conflicting messages. There's no misinformation, cheap fakes, deep fakes, this, that, and everything else under the sun. So I mentioned Tractor Supply Company is ditching DEI. But this story, courtesy of our friends on X and Wokeness, point out how DEI is still preventing some exceptionally qualified candidates from getting into college, including this guy who is of Asian descent. His GPA score is 97.3%. He got a 1560 on his SATs, and he's got extracurriculars out the wazoo, but he was not admitted, and he was placed on a wait list in the name of equity and inclusion. Take a listen. This is clip 14. Go.
A school does not want to admit me because I'm Asian American, then there's not much I can do about that, because it's a part of me that I just can't get rid of.
By all accounts, David is an academically exceptional student with an impressive resume of accomplishments and extracurriculars. His high school, Stuyvesant in New York City, is one of the top-rated public schools in the country.
My GPA is 97.3 out of 100. My SAT score is 1560. And extracurricular-wise, I'm one of the captains for the Stuyvesant math team. I'm a team captain for the New York City math team. I'm the starting right side for our school's volleyball team. I'm in the All-City Latin Jazz Ensemble.
He applied early decision to Harvard. In December, he found out the college deferred him.
If it's deferred, that means I still have a chance.
We love you, all right?
Thank you.
Then more disappointing news over the next few months as he began to hear back from the over dozen schools that he applied to.
No Yale. Waitlist. No Princeton.
And it was all, like, bad news, or results I wouldn't have expected, like reject, waitlist, reject, waitlist.
In March, he learned Harvard had rejected him.
I feel like I also owe it to my parents to sort of make them proud. And I feel like by not getting into Harvard, I was sort of disappointing them. But more importantly, I was disappointing myself.
That's source courtesy of Nightline. Now, it's not, you didn't disappoint your parents, buddy. These insane institutions like Harvard and Princeton, which from a PR standpoint, since October 7th, have gone straight into the gutter with what they permitted with anti-Semitism on their campus. We already know they will disregard white people, even if they are qualified to hit, quote, admission quotas. And now you have somebody that's Asian who's 2.7% below perfect. I think the SAT, the highest you can get, is 1,600. He's 40 points below perfect there. Plays volleyball, plays musical instruments, and he's told he has to be on a wait list? I mean, what are we doing here? Are we really lowering the bar across the board so we can have everybody that looks differently, but they all think the same? And I have no idea what this guy's political background is. He might be super left as well, but this shouldn't matter. This guy should be in based on his merits alone.
Yeah, and we've seen the discrimination against Asian Americans in particular. So whether it's at the collegiate level, we even saw the story, well, that prompted the Supreme Court ruling, and that involved high school students who were denied scholarships. So this is something that should be explored. His case should be explored. Who else was put ahead of him and why?
Mm-hmm. And I want to see those person's transcripts.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's illegal. All right, let's wrap up with a little bit of fun. Are you ready for this? We're going to go right down to Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to go right to Sean Farish's back here.
Oh, I know where this is going.
This
I
is
know
where this is 16. Going. I mean, all the viral moments on social media with beautiful women seem to happen in Nashville, Tennessee. If you want crazy, deranged, ugly women on TikTok, you go to like Portland, New York, or somewhere else. But if you want hot women,
Philadelphia,
that's correct. You're darn right. But if you want hot women doing great things, you go down to Nashville, Tennessee. I don't have any issue with what she was wearing. Just saying. Dawn, you can throw something at me.
Listen, not a good singer, though.
No,
I will say
terrible.
Terrible voice. You know, stick to the TikTok, I guess, right? The, you know, the hawk to it's just the story surrounding this girl has been hilarious. And I didn't know what was going on. It went viral. I guess it was like a couple weeks ago, right? A week and a half ago. Yep. We were in Bedminster. I come back and I'm like, what is this? There are shirts, hawk to it. What the hell did I miss? And then I watched the video. And by the way, the video is hilarious. I took it upon myself to use it to compare, you know, Fannie Willis was a hawk to a girl, and, Nikki Haley, we talk about the escapades and the escalades. She was hawk to her like nobody's ever seen. Monica Lewinsky, remember her? And, Kamala, we know Kamala, Montel Williams, Willie Brown, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other people. You also have Peter Stroke and Lisa Page, you know, there was probably some hawk tour going on there too. So
yeah.
Incredible people.
All right, that will do it. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history and who won Twitter today. As we put a bow on a Monday show, Kale and Company back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
We have a lot going on today, obviously, right at 10 o'clock straight up. Will we get the ruling talking about immunity, full immunity, presidential immunity, a huge ruling with ramifications, not just for the current president, but also former President Trump and presidents after POTUS 46, by the way. So the Supreme Court, the pressure is on. What will that ruling be? And we expect it to come down any moment now after, we're 8 minutes away and counting.
Mm-hmm.
So we, of course, will break that down, get all the reaction to it. And then the first rallies post-disastrous debate, we'll take you through that. And the latest cover lady, first lady turns cover lady, Jill Biden using the media and focusing on young women, some of them perhaps first-time voters, and what impact that may have. There's so much just ahead. We'll get into all of it coming up.
Dawn, have you ever been on the cover to a cover of Vanity Fair?
Not Vanity Fair, local magazines.
Okay.
Yeah, but all right. Not Vanity Fair.
I was just wondering. Dave McCormick is on Fox News right now saying that the Biden administration and his cabinet should invoke the 25th. No, that's the wrong strategy, in my opinion. I don't want Joe to go. I want Joe to stay. Don't give the Democrats a wiggle room out the back door.
Well, but think about it. What McCormick is saying is if they bumped him now, it'd be president. Okay, get ready for this. Cover your ears, kids. President Kamala Harris.
I'm moving to Fiji.
That's close.
I know. I'm sorry. I did that to you. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Oh. Dawn, that was bad.
Oh, boy. Now I need some Tums. But we also have to get to Phil Almquist and Today in Music History. Oh, no.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. Kale and Company.
Today, July 1st, we celebrate the birthdays of Debbie Harry from Blondie, who's now 79, Fred Schneider from the B-52s, who's 73, and Dan Aykroyd, who's now 72. We also lost Wolfman Jack on this day in 95 and Luther Vandross in 2005. Singles include Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft in 1972. Albums include OK Computer by Radiohead in 97, Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan in 66, Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed in 75, and Into Glory Ride by Manowar in 1983. Oh, such a great album. Also in 79, the Sony Walkman debuted in Japan. In 71, Jethro Tull's Aqua Lung is certified gold. In 56, Just for Linda, Elvis made his debut on the Steve Allen Show. In 83, Bon Jovi signed with Mercury Records. And in 2009, a week after Michael Jackson's death, he dominated the top 10 album list with 9 of the top 10. But lastly, on this day in 2006, the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts opened on the grounds of the 69 Woodstock Festival in Bethel, New York. By the way, if you haven't been up there, get there. It's a great museum to visit. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
All right, nice work, Philip, as we wrap up a Monday show. No time for Who Won Social Media today. Great job, Sean. We'll do it again tomorrow morning at 6. Sound good?
Oh, sounds great. I'll be there, and I can't wait to do it all over again.
All right, stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, presumably with a big take on presidential immunity. Until then, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
We have a lot going on today. Obviously, right at 10 o'clock, straight up, will we get the ruling talking about immunity, full immunity, presidential immunity, a huge ruling with ramifications, not just for the current president, but also former President Trump and presidents after, after POTUS 46, by the way. So, the Supreme Court, the pressure is on. What will that ruling be? And we expect it to come down any moment now after, we're 8 minutes away and counting.
Mm-hmm.
So we, of course, will break that down, get all the reaction to it. And then the first rallies post-disastrous debate. We'll take you through that. And the latest cover lady, first lady turns cover lady, Jill Biden, using the media and focusing on young women, some of them perhaps first-time voters, and what impact that may have. There's so much just ahead. We'll get into all of it coming up.
Dawn, have you ever been on the cover or a cover of Vanity Fair?
Not Vanity Fair. Local magazines.
Okay.
Yeah, but all right. Not Vanity Fair.
I was just wondering. Dave McCormick is on Fox News right now saying that the Biden administration and his cabinet should invoke the 25th. No, that's the wrong strategy, in my opinion. I don't want Joe to go. I want Joe to stay. Don't give the Democrats a wiggle room out the back door.
Well, but think about it. What McCormick is saying is if they bumped him now, it'd be president. Okay, get ready for this. Cover your ears, kids. President Kamala Harris.
I'm moving to Fiji.
That's close.
I know. I'm sorry. I did that to you. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Dawn, that was bad.
Oh, boy. Now I need some Tums. But we also have to get to Phil Almquist and Today in Music History. Oh, no.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, July 1st, we celebrate the birthdays of Debbie Harry from Blondie, who's now 79, Fred Schneider from the B-52s, who's 73, and Dan Aykroyd, who's now 72. We also lost Wolfman Jack on this day in 95. And Luther Vandross in 2005. Singles include Summer Breeze by Seals and Croft in 1972. Albums include OK Computer by Radiohead in 97, Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan in 66, Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed in 75, and Into Glory Ride by Manowar in 1983. Oh, such a great album. Also in 79, the Sony Walkman debuted in Japan. In 71, Jethro Tull's Aqua Lung is certified gold. In 56, Just for Linda, Elvis made his debut on the Steve Allen Show. In 83, Bon Jovi signed with Mercury Records. And in 2009, a week after Michael Jackson's death, he dominated the top 10 album list with 9 of the top 10. But lastly, on this day in 2006, The Bethel Woods Center for the Arts opens on the grounds of the 69 Woodstock Festival in Bethel, New York. By the way, if you haven't been up there, get there. It's a great museum to visit. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
All right, nice work, Philip, as we wrap up a Monday show. No time for Who Won Social Media today. Great job, Sean. We'll do it again tomorrow morning at 6. Sound good?
Oh, sounds great. I'll be there, and I can't wait to do it all over again.
All right, stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, presumably with a big take on presidential immunity. Until then, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.